Rewind. The clock strikes midnight, December 31st, 2019. And everybody cheers. It's 2020. Happy New Year, 2020. This is going to be a great year. This is going to be a fun year. And people start talking about their plans for 2020 and their resolutions and their future. And talk starts rolling around to the summer of 2020. And you walk up in this office party to some people talking about their summer plans for 2020. And here's what you hear. One guy says, you know, I think I'm just going to work from home for like 4 months and never go into the office. And somebody else says, you know, I think we're probably just going to bring all our kids home, like at spring break, and just keep them home and do school for like months on end, all the way through the summer. Another guy says, I'm planning on wearing a mask whenever I go to a grocery store or shopping or anywhere like that. One guy says, I'm just going to cancel all my trips for the summer and stay in Des Moines the whole time. You're not going to get me on an airplane. No way. Not once. And I'm sure not buying a pool pass because the pools are all going to be closed. And finally, somebody says, you know, I'm planning on stockpiling like loads of hand sanitizer. I mean, like really lots of it. And somebody, you finally say, why? Global coronavirus pandemic? Duh. Really? Nobody could have anticipated the summer of 2020. Totally unexpected. Today, we're going to launch a brand new series called The Unexpected Summer. And we're talking about finding encouragement in surprising places. And guys, I hope you're settling in and you're in your seat. You're ready to jump in. We're going to have a series, Pastor Brandon and I, through the minor prophets in the Old Testament. And the minor prophets are not minor because their message is unimportant. The minor prophets are short books. They're minor in comparison to larger, major books. But still, their message is very challenging, but also incredibly encouraging. And over the course of this summer, we're going to walk through all the encouragement we can glean from these Old Testament books. And today, we're going to start with the prophet Zechariah. So if you have a Bible, or you got your device, and you want to go to YouVersion app, or whatever, wherever you are, whether you're at home, you're in person, you're here on the campus, wherever you are, turn there, Zechariah chapter 4. And let me give you a little bit of background on this book. So the scene is, the setting is, the people of Israel have been in exile. This is way before the time of Jesus, 500 years before the time of Jesus. And they've been in exile for 70 years because of their fallenness and their sin. But now God has permitted them, some of them, to return back to Jerusalem. And a group comes first, and then more people come. And there's a Persian king, and he kind of helps them and allows them to return back and helps them to begin to rebuild. Nehemiah comes first, and he rebuilds the wall. But then there's a second wave that comes back to actually rebuild the temple. And they got started on it, and there was this great enthusiasm about, we're going to rebuild the temple. We're going to meet together in God's house, and it's going to be amazing. And they get started, and then they hit some roadblocks. They've got opposition. The task is way, way bigger than they expected. And they just hit a wall. And they look at the temple grounds, and just weeds everywhere. And what used to be the temple is now just a pile of rubble, like a giant mountain of stones. And that's what they're looking at. And they said, this is going to be our temple. And into that mountain of rubble, God speaks to a prophet named Zechariah. And he gives him, it's a fairly long book, but in chapters 1-6, he gives, on a single night, Zechariah gets 8 night visions. And we're going to look at one of them. It's actually the vision number 5 of the 8 night visions. And because Zechariah gives us dates and we have archaeology and other documents outside the Bible to compare it to, we actually know the exact date that Zechariah got these visions. These eight night visions came on February 15th, 519 BC. So we're going to learn from something that God inspired Zechariah to share 2,539 years ago, still relevant in the year 2020. And it's all about moving a mountain. In fact, we're going to ask the question today, how do you move a mountain? How do you move a mountain? And when I'm talking about a mountain, I'm talking about some insurmountable obstacle, some challenge that seems just too hard, too big, too great for you possibly to pull off. It's something God's called you to do, to live his life. It's something God calls the church to do, to be a light. It's something that God is you sense really God has put in your heart to fulfill, and yet it just seems like there's no way. It's like a giant mountain of rubble. How could this ever be? And we come to vision number five to find out some encouragement there. They're facing an overwhelming task. They're back from exile, the pile of stones. They've tried and they failed. And they can't see where the resources are going to come from. And maybe you're there. And they think it's not going to be as good as Solomon's temple. And they're bummed. And they look at, they remember that, and they compare that to what they're doing. And it's like, we'll never get there. Sometimes, guys, we actually psych ourselves out because we look at something that someone else has experienced or God's given to them or God's made them to be or to accomplish in their lives, and we look at somebody else and say, I'll never get there. I'll never be anything like that because we're at the beginning point, and here's what I want to tell you guys. A small beginning, it's not fair to yourself to compare your small beginning to someone else's finished product. So it's okay if it's just still a pile of rubble. That's a place to start. God can do something unexpected in my life, starting today and in your life, in the unexpected summer of 2020. I don't know what your mountain is. Maybe it's a parenting issue. Maybe it's a deeply personal character issue. I don't know what it is. But it's a mountain to you. And the question we want to answer today is, how do you move a mountain? And into this, an angel of the Lord gives a vision to the prophet Zechariah. And this vision is for the immediate situation there in the Old Testament, and also the long-term vision into our day, the days of Jesus into our day, and then into eternity. I want you to come with me and look at this. It's kind of a bizarre vision. I'll just give you a warning up front, all right? Here we go. The angel, here's the vision number five. The angel was speaking with me, that's Zechariah, then returned and roused me as one awakened out of sleep. Wake up, wake up. He asked me, what do you see? I replied, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top. The lampstand also has seven lamps at the top with seven spouts for each of the lamps. There are also two olive trees beside it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. Okay. Then he says, what are these, my Lord? He says, the angel, what are these? And the angel replied, don't you know what they are? And I said, no, my Lord. I mean, it's a weird vision. And it's like, what does this mean? I don't know if any of you have been to the Des Moines Art Center. I've been many times. And it's a modern art, so a modern art museum. And so a lot of the artwork there is very abstract. I remember one in particular. We got it here. And it's this, Jeffrey Koons created this triple-decker stack of shop vacs. And they're the largest, then the medium, and then the small. And I came up to this and I was like, okay, what is that? And it took me a while, and I'm reading about it, and it was done in the 80s, and it was like a comment on consumerism, and it was also kind of a family, like mama bear, or mama, papa, mama, child, and there's a lot of other, you know, commentary on the 80s culture. And I kind of sort of got it after I read that. And that's kind of where Zechariah is. It's like modern art. It's like, whoa, this is really unusual. So here's the picture he has. He says there's two olive trees on either side of this golden lampstand and this golden bowl. So let's take another kind of artist rendering of this. So there's the two olive trees, and then there's a lampstand. There's a bowl on top of this, these trees that are kind of putting their oil into the bowl. And then the bowl has pipes coming down that goes to a menorah, like a lampstand with seven lights. And that's the vision. Okay, just a little bit of background here. The lampstand, the menorah, is a symbol that was in the temple, the Old Testament temple, and it was to be a picture of how Israel was to be a light to all the nations, a light, a witness to all the nations of God's blessing, God's mercy, and an invitation to come and believe the one true God, and you too will be blessed as Israel has been blessed. It's an invitation. It's a light. And the priest who was responsible for the upkeep of the temple would go and daily fill the lamps with oil, or this bowl with oil, and the lamps would be filled. But here in Zechariah's vision, back to it, the trees themselves supply the oil, and then go to the other photo, and it kind of drips down, and or either pipes or drips down into this bowl, and then so there's kind of this ongoing, it's replaced of the priest, and it's these two trees that are supplying the oil directly, and there's this continual living supply of the oil for the lamps. And that's the vision that Zechariah has. In this vision are going to be three main people that you need to know about. Zechariah, who is the prophet speaking it, and then two other people, Joshua, who is the high priest, and Zerubbabel, who is the governor or the leader of the people of God. All right? And the question is, how do you move a mountain? And the answer is, in that vision of these two olive trees and the golden lampstand with the lights shining. And that's the answer. And he's scratching his head, I don't understand what this means. Verse 6, we learn, how do you move a mountain? Let's look. The first principle is you move a mountain, you overcome this obstacle, you do this great thing that God's called you to do by the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 6, so he answered me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the leader, the governor, not by strength or by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of armies. Zerubbabel, who's the leader, is looking at this temple mountain of rubble, and he says, how are we ever going to do this? We'll never get this done. And God says, not by strength or by might, but by my Spirit. They started with this great excitement, but they'd hit a wall, and they'd given up, because on their own, they could not do it. The task seems too big, and they gave up. And a lot of us get to that point. Maybe you're there right now. It's just too big, and you say, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I'll never be able to accomplish this. I can't do it. And this vision, and Zechariah says, correct. Not by strength, not sheer force, not willpower, not everything you have, not my might, which really leans more into your abilities and your skills. If you're going to accomplish this, it's going to be by my Spirit, says the Lord. Sometimes you're thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. And God says, correct. This won't be accomplished by your creativity, your smarts, your genius, your gutting it out. I can't do it on my own. And he says, shh, not by strength, nor by might, but by my Spirit. That's how you're going to accomplish this. You see, eventually, what happens when the oil runs out? The candles go out, and that's burnout. Literal burnout. And when I only depend on my might, my power, my strength, my skills, my smarts, ultimately I burn out. Doesn't mean that God doesn't use those. It means when I only rely on those. And he says, you get to the end of yourself, and that's actually a good place to be, because now you can lean into me more. You can cast those cares on me. You can rely on my spirit to refuel you. And God is an invitation to you this morning. It's like, is your tank dry? There is an endless supply through the Holy Spirit of God to your life. And like those olive trees, you can have a living supply of God's power, God's strength, God's goodness, God's truth, God's greatness, God's grace in your life every day. If you're willing today to say, I yield to you. Maybe I've tried too much on my own strength, and now I'm coming to you, and I'm willing to release that and turn it over to you and say, Lord, if I'm going to move this mountain, if this mountain is going to be moved, it's going to be by your spirit. I need your help. And there's no shame. In fact, that's a great place to be today. If you say, I need you, Lord. Because you see, when the fuel keeps coming from God, you may face the most challenging circumstances in moving this mountain. But you can keep moving forward. You can keep shining brightly because you've got a strength and a power beyond your own, the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it anymore. The mountain is just too big. You're right. But that's where God comes to you and says, I'm here for you. I won't let you down. I'll keep you strong and I'll supply to you if you'll ask me. You'll have this continual supply. So how do you move a mountain? If you've got something that you know needs to be done, that God's called you to do, how are you going to do it? First off, you're going to move that mountain by the power of God's Spirit. Secondly, you move the mountain with confidence and joy in God's grace. Verse 7, what are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. In other words, there's this huge mountain in front of them, and they're like, how are we ever going to get there? The angel of the Lord says, God's going to flatten it. God's going to just wipe it out. You're going to be amazed at what God does through you. And he will bring out, Zerubbabel, the leader of the group, is going to bring out the capstone. That's the last stone of the temple, where the two big walls come together. It's the very last stone. It signifies the completion of the temple. He's going to bring it out, and everybody is going to be to shouts of grace, grace to that capstone. In other words, God says, you got to believe and trust me. You got to regain your confidence in me, not in yourself, but in me, and your joy that God's got something. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with that dream or vision that God has given to you. It might look different, but he's not finished. In fact, he wants to accomplish that in your life. If you're following the word of God, and you're listening to him, and you're in prayer about this, you can step forward with confidence and joy and see God's going to bring it to completion. Not just from something you dream up, but something that's clearly directed to you from the Word of God. And God's placed it on your heart and said, yeah, this is something God wants me to do. He says, you're going to see it through. You got to regain your confidence and faith and your joy in this journey. Maybe it's been hard. I'm sorry if it's been really hard for you. But today, I would ask you, could you reach out to God and just recapture the joy you once had? And can you envision a coming day when the last piece of that mountain is removed and when the final capstone, the keystone, is in place? And you know what you'll shout? You know what you'll be able to say? Not I did it. You'll be able to say God did it. God's grace did it. In fact, you'll shout, grace, grace. It's all about grace. And all of us guys have life stories we've all heard. And God wants you to have a life story that you are able to tell people about. And the end of it, you know what you'll shout? Grace, grace. I'm telling you, it's all grace. God's grace. That's why we sing. That's why we remember. That day can come for you again. It's an unexpected summer. But you know what? God's still at work. He hadn't given up on you. He hadn't given up on his church. These are challenging days, but you know what? We're going to see it through, and at the end of it, we're going to say, grace, grace, God's grace. Sometimes our attitudes and our outlooks need an overhaul. We've gotten into faithless thinking. We've gotten into negativity or complaining. We've gotten into just joyless Christianity, and we're just walking, doing through the motions, and God wants us to recapture a confidence and a fired up sense that God is at work here. This is Almighty God who's pouring into my life, and he wants to do something to me. And when you begin to recapture that, then the joy starts coming back. It may take a while, but the joy starts coming back, and then you start moving forward. If God has truly called you, nothing is too big for him. And you guys, at the beginning of last fall, we had you write down some bold faith moves. Don't give up on those. Regain the confidence and joy and keep pursuing both of them for your spiritual growth and for your spiritual influence. And you will finish, and the capstone will be put there, and you'll say, it was grace, grace. Some of you say, but I don't know how this is all going to work out. I don't even know what I'm doing. Well, that's never stopped you before. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing half the time, but God's there with us. Here's what I could say. Do what you know and then trust God for the rest. Do what you know and then trust God for the rest. Okay, third principle, how do you move a mountain? Through human hands in God's timing. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Zerubbabel's hands have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of armies has sent me to you. Did you circle the words here, Zerubbabel's hands and his hands? In other words, what he's saying is, Zerubbabel is going to be involved. It's not like God's going to build the temple and it's just going to miraculously, supernaturally just rebuild itself. No, Zerubbabel is going to have to lead a project. It's going to involve human work and prayer and effort on our part. It's not a passivity that we take into when we trust the Spirit of God. It's an activity, but it's leaning on God's strength in our activity instead of our own strength. So God uses human hands and plenty of hard work and strategy and thinking and planning and energy on our part, but he's the one who supplies the wisdom, the fuel, the power, the love that is needed. But we're involved in this. He uses human hands, and he does it in God's timing. He says, Zerubbabel's hands have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will complete it. In other words, he says to him, Zerubbabel himself is going to be here to see the beginning and the end of this project. So that's the timeline. Now, Zerubbabel didn't set that. God did. And sometimes projects are shorter, and sometimes they're longer. That's in God's hands. But it's in God's timing, and he set the timing of this one. He said, it's going to finish within this period, and Zerubbabel, you yourself will see it. And God supplies the power. Remember the olive trees? Those are these incredible ways that God pours into us so that our light can keep shining bright. And the fourth way that God moves mountains in our lives is he does it little by little, day by day. Verse 10. We want the mountain moved immediately, now, and it's got to be big right now. And God says this, for who despises the day of small things? Most of the time it's just a little by little. Small things, small beginnings. I mean, you start with that big pile, you start by building, moving one stone at a time. And it may take a while. Don't despise those days of small things. Don't say, this is worthless. No. Every great thing starts with small steps. So don't give up. This is just the beginning. There's greater things to come. He says, these seven eyes of the Lord, which is a very kind of almost trippy Old Testament figure. Seven is like the total completion idea, and the number seven. So it's like God's full knowledge. He's got like complete knowledge of everything. The seven eyes of the Lord, which scan throughout the whole earth. His eyes will rejoice when they see the ceremonial stone in Zerubbabel's hand. In other words, God's going to be watching. He's with you always. He's scanning. He's looking for people who are willing to take little steps, small beginnings. And he's going to keep looking to say, I can use that person because they're willing to start small. They don't have to have big completion. They don't need to see it right away. They're willing to start small. And guess what? God is cheering you on. And on the day when it comes to be, and when that thing happens that God has called you to do through his word, he's going to be rejoicing with you when he sees the final stone put in place, just like here in this passage. Who despises the day of small things? Guys, I went, just last week, Ruth and I went up to a museum in Gladbrook, Iowa, a little town of like 600 people, and we went to this museum called Matchstick Marvels, and the artist there puts together these incredible models using just little matchsticks, one at a time. And this guy is incredible. He starts very small, though. He starts with these little matchsticks, and then one of his first things was he just built a dinosaur. And yeah, okay, that's nice. But then he moved on to more complicated things. Okay, here's a wagon train. And then he gets bigger with it. He builds this kind of biplane. And then he goes bigger with it, and he starts building. This is a big, like a large model of a ship with sails. And then he builds this giant battleship. It's like 6 feet long. And then he keeps going. He builds this model of the Notre Dame in Paris, and then he keeps going, and he builds this ginormous model of the United States Capitol. I mean, this thing's like 10 feet wide, and you can see the dome here. Look at some of the intricacies of all of this. It's just so amazing. But guess what? Every one of those projects started with a single matchstick. Don't despise the day of small things. It may look tiny to you. It may look like a small step. But are you willing to take the first small step? What little thing is God calling you to do today? I don't know what it is. You never know where God's going to start. Years ago, here at Valley, and we still do these child sponsorships, and we have over 500 children that Valley Church people are sponsoring. Years ago, like 7, 8 years ago, we chose to sponsor a child. And here's a picture. We picked up the card, and there she was. She was 14 years old, and we sponsored her. And now, just, you know, we gave a little bit of money each month. And now today, she's 21 years old. Here she is. Guess what? She's gone from poverty. She was able to go through nursing school. And now she's a nurse, and now she's actually working in a COVID-19 hospital in her home country, helping people who have coronavirus. We started with this tiny little small step, and God took that and used this young woman to do amazing things. She's blessing people that we'll never be able to bless, but she is, because she cares, and she follows Jesus. So, guys, that's awesome, and I love to see how God takes little small steps at the beginning and then multiplies it. Don't ever despise small things. I've had 3 kids and 1 grandson. And I remember their first words and their first steps. And I didn't despise those. I celebrate them. And God is celebrating with you when you take your little baby steps and you say your first words. He's cheering you on. He is. They're almost unnoticeable. Finish it up, verse 11. Zechariah asked the angel, "What are the 2 olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" And I questioned him further, "What are the 2 streams of the olive trees from which the golden oil is pouring through the 2 golden conduits? Then he inquired of me, "Don't you know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I replied. "These are the 2 anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Those 2 people happen to be, when we learn from the scriptures, probably is referring to Joshua the high priest, who is the spiritual leader, and Zerubbabel, who is the governor, who is the practical leader of the people. You see, what we're learning here from this verse is that the living supply of the Spirit and the power of God are given continually for God's cause, through God's leaders and God's people. He didn't just drip it from heaven. He drips it through others who encourage us and bless us. Someone who will help advance the cause of the kingdom in the world and in your heart and in my heart. There was an anointed priest, Joshua, and an anointed king or governor, Zerubbabel, and they were the ones that God raised up. Now, they're both dead, and they've been dead for like 2,530 years or more.
What about now? Well, maybe the vision was looking forward to something even greater or someone even greater. Zechariah 6, just real quick. Zechariah has another statement to make. Take the silver and the gold and make a crown and set it on the head of the high priest Joshua, son of Jozadak. To him, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here, now stop here for a minute. That should be strange to you. We don't put crowns on priests. That's for kings. Priests and kings are two separate categories. Joshua, Zerubbabel, they're two separate people. You don't put a crown on a priest because they're separate. But Zechariah says there's coming a day when those two are going to come together, when there's going to be a priest and a king in the same person. What is his name? I'll tell you. Here is the man whose name is the branch. Who is it we're putting the crown on? Remember last verse? Joshua. Yeshua. Jesus. Yes, the name of Jesus in Zechariah 6, the Old Testament. Here is the man whose name is the branch. That's another name of the Messiah. And he will branch out from this place and he will build the temple of the Lord, just like Jesus said he would and did. It is he who will build the temple. That's his church, his people. He will build the temple of the Lord and he will be clothed with majesty and he will sit and rule on his throne and he will be a priest on his throne. Priest and king come together in one person and there will be harmony between the two, and that is pointing forward to the person of Jesus Christ. This is an amazing prophecy and I love it. And Jesus fulfilled this living water, this living supply of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament when he taught us in John 7. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus, Joshua, the high priest and king, stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit. Today, God's calling all of us to step into a new confidence and joy, to be willing to take little baby steps at the beginning, to believe that not by our strength, might, or power, but by his Spirit, he can do great things in this unexpected summer of 2020. What is God calling you to do and me to do where we can lean in on him? And at the end of the day, you know what we're going to say? It was grace. Grace. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this incredible, encouraging prophecy in the book of Zechariah. And help, I pray for every person here who hears this today and sees this today, that they will take incredible encouragement to take those steps, to see that mountain moved, whatever that mountain is in their life, that they will trust you, that you can, in your perfect timing, short or long, move that mountain in their lives. Your word promises us, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I pray today that everybody here, even somebody who's never come to faith in Jesus, would today say, "I see it now." And they would put their faith in you, oh God, you who are able to move mountains. And Lord, ultimately, it's through the cross and your resurrection that you ultimately move the greatest mountain, that barrier of sin that stood between us. Oh God, thank you for taking it away through your son, Jesus. We look forward to the days to come, not by strength, nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And everybody agreed and said, amen, amen. God bless you guys.